It's terrible when the song leader gets choked up. It's more so terrible when the song leader is the preacher and he gets choked up and he puts cement in his mouth. And kind of reminds me of the time when I heard about a preacher who had a little bit of a scratchy throat and he put a mint in his mouth and his wife told him to preach till the mint was gone. What little did he realize? He put a button in his mouth and he kept on going. I promise not to do that. But I do want to take a few minutes tonight to ask us to ponder the question or the statement that's made in the bulletin announcing tonight's sermon, if Jesus had not died. Have you ever thought about that before? If Jesus had not died, I heard Brandon say this morning he'd heard other people preach sermons on this, and I have no doubt that that's the case. And they may very well have brought up some of the same points that I'm going to bring up. But we need to contemplate this, because much has been said about the accomplishments of Jesus' life and his death, and justifiably so, because there has not been an event in history with such an impact. You think about all of the marvelous things that have occurred, the disastrous things that occurred, the things of nature that have occurred, and you would not be able to find one that has a greater impact as the death of Jesus Christ. The negative approach is a productive and often used by the penman of the inspired word. And we want to use the negative approach as we look at this tonight. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 12. And we're going to, when I say look at the negative approach, we hear the negative in the sermon topic. If Jesus had not died. But 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 reads, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." So we can see that the direction that we're going to investigate this, we're going to use looking at the negative part of the statement, if Jesus had not died. If Jesus had not died, there would be no perfect sacrifice, and therefore no justification. As you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, we're going to see what the Hebrews writer, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had to say regarding this. But we know that prior to Jesus coming to earth, living the perfect life under the Mosaic system, participated in the offering of sacrifices. Now, he did not take the life or draw the blood of the sacrifice, because that's what the priest did. But if Jesus served under the law without sin, then he also offered sacrifice, because under the law, one was required to offer sacrifices. Someone might be quick to point out, well, Jesus didn't sin, why would he need to offer sacrifices? That was not the only reason under the old law that sacrifices were offered. But the writer of Hebrews repeatedly addresses Jesus' perfect sacrifice. "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not of the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect." There here he's saying that under the law there was no perfection. There was not a perfect sacrifice. "For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin." As we contemplate this, we see in verses 1 through 4 the description regarding the Hebrew system, the Mosaic system. But look at verses 5 through 7. What we're going to see then here is a comparison between that which was under the old law and that which is under Christ. Verses 5 through 7 of Hebrews 10. "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me in burnt offering and sacrifices, for sin thou hast had no, for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book of it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And when we look at what Jesus Christ came to do, he came to do the will of God. We've discussed it on many occasions, and understand that the will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And because under the Mosaic system, the sacrifices that were made, the offerings that were given, could not bring about that saving of life or the saving of soul, and therefore there needed to be a sacrifice that was acceptable unto God. And Christ came in a body prepared by God for that purpose. And so when Jesus Christ came to earth, he came to die. He came to give himself on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could have salvation. Jesus' sacrifice of himself was so perfect that it was once for all. Look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. We can see that under the old law, the sacrifice was made continually year after year after year. But we see that the sacrifice that was once for all was made by Christ. We read here, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. In other words, there was no need for Christ to die again and again and again upon the cross, because one time was sufficient. If Jesus had not died, there would be no grace. People today place a lot of store in grace. The ones who place the most store in grace are those who understand it least, because they're expecting grace to take them through to the other side. But what does John chapter 17, or chapter 1 and verse 17 say about it? It tells us, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now those who were under the old law, they kept looking for the salvation of Israel, but they had preconceived notions, and therefore they did not accept. And we see what came under the situation with Moses, the law. But what came by Christ Jesus? Grace and truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the very word that he spake unto us is truth. If Jesus had not died, there would be no grace. And without grace, the only way man could be justified would be made by perfect law-keeping, which no man has ever done. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 clearly tells us that none have ever been able to live perfectly. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The law was not given so that man would follow it perfectly. It was given to bring us to Christ, where the perfect sacrifice would be made so that we might be able to be recipients of the grace of God. So according to Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, we see then that Jesus was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. We can see, as we look through what we have seen thus far this evening, the plan of God as it has unfolded to the point where we have that perfect sacrifice. We have the plan of God open up unto us until we can see the deliverer has come. If Jesus had not died, there would be no ultimate example of love. Love, that's a big subject today. There are those that want to pin their relationship with God and with Christ on nothing but love. But they want it to be a one-way love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And they will quote you that passage and expect you to think that it means, because God loved me, he will not allow me to go to hell. That's not what it says. But we need to understand how God's love was made known to us, how God's love was manifested to us. Jesus divested himself of heaven's glory, and the Father sent his only begotten Son. We need to understand that when Jesus came from heaven, he lowered himself. One of the versions say that he emptied himself. He set aside his heavenly glory for a time, but he did so for our benefit. If Jesus had not died, there would be no example of love. There has never been such an example of love. As we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, we can see that Christ was rich. You stop and think about it. He had all the glories of heaven. What is it that we're seeking? What is it that we're striving for? What is it that we're trying to attain? A home in heaven. Well, Christ already had that. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He emptied himself. He came to earth. He came to earth in a lowly state. Poor. So that we might be rich. So that we might be able to enjoy eternity with the Father. If Jesus had not died, there would be no prayer in Jesus' name. It's amazing to me the number of people that will pray in Jesus' name and have absolutely no authority in which to pray. They don't understand the phrase "in Jesus' name." That means by Jesus' authority. And Jesus' disciples came to him and asked him to teach them how to pray. And he did so. But prayer in Jesus' name is predicated on Jesus' death and triumphant resurrection. If Jesus had not died, we could not pray. And you stop and think about it. You say, well, people prayed in the Old Testament. Well, absolutely. They were children of God. There's not a Jew in this place. What kind of shape would we be in? We couldn't pray if Jesus had not died. In John 16, 23 and 24, we'll see the words that Jesus said to his disciples regarding prayer. He says, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing." In other words, don't pray to me. I've heard people pray to Jesus. I make it very clear in my prayer to whom I am addressing. The one to whom I am speaking. It is to God. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. We don't need to be confused on this passage either. This is not saying whatever we ask, it will be granted. Remember the ones to whom he was speaking. But he went on to tell them, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Excuse me. Now, as we talk about prayer, and we talk about the fact that we could not pray if Jesus had not died, we need to understand that in order for us to pray, we have to be children of God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, we see that we have an advocate with the Father. We need to understand that Jesus has he has something to do with our prayers. He is an advocate. He goes to the Father on our behalf. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Because of the death of Jesus Christ, we have that advocate. We have one who will go to the Father on our behalf when we pray to the Father. If Jesus had not died, there would be no church. You know, it's pitiful but true that there are a lot of people that would be okay with that while here on the earth. There are a lot of people who would think that they would be okay with no church. It is depressing when you hear teenagers say, "No, I can't. Mom said I got to go to church." Why? Well, because mom says so. Teenagers ought to know that we ought to be in services. We ought to gather ourselves to worship because we love God. Because Jesus Christ came and died for us. Salvation is in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we'll see that salvation is in his spiritual body, the church. Somebody might say, "Well, you just said salvation was in Christ." Well, the church is the body of Christ. it tells us here in this verse, excuse me, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Why did he come? He came to die on the cross. What was the result? The church. Remember, before he went to the cross, he told his disciples, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? That means though I die, it will not prevent the church. Another passage that tells us that salvation is in Christ is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul was writing to this young preacher, Timothy, and in telling him, he was telling him why he would endure all things for the benefit of the church. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. That salvation is in Christ, and if Christ had not died, there would be no salvation. There would be no church in which to be saved. Now, we need to be very clear here. Jesus' death benefited those before the cross and after the cross. What do you mean? Well, did you think that all of the people from before the cross all the way back to creation were lost simply because they were not under the New Testament law? Jesus' blood took care of that. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, we can see that the benefit that those before the cross received. We have many passages throughout the Bible that talk about the faithfulness of those in the Old Testament, those who looked for God and his salvation that would come. But Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Those sojourners that are spoken of in Hebrews, those who were looking for a city, they did not receive it. But if they were faithful to God, under the dispensation in which they lived and the law under which they lived, they will receive it because of the death of Christ. In the absence of Jesus' death, man would be without hope. All of mankind would be without hope. If Jesus had not died, there would not be a perfect example of obedience and no access to heaven. If I were to ask for a show of hands this evening of those who didn't care whether or not they went to heaven, I would hope that there would be no hands coming up. No one would raise their hand and say, I'm okay if I don't make it. Without Jesus, there would be no access to heaven. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, Paul wrote as directed by the Spirit of Jesus' means of coming and the example of his life. He said, in being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became obedient unto death. When he was just a child, his parents had carried him with them to Jerusalem. It was the parents' responsibility to look after that child. But after 3 days' journey, they realized that the young Jesus was not with them, and they went back to the temple, looking for him, searching for him, and they found him with the doctors and the lawyers, those who were astounded at his understanding. And they asked him something of this effect. Where have you been? Do you not know that you worried us? And he responded, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He knew what his Father's business was. But he also knew that in order to follow the will of God, that he must needs be subject to his parents and to the things throughout his life until such time as he should begin his ministry, and then fulfill the law by dying on the cross. And so he gave us that perfect example. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience, learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Wait a minute, preacher. You're talking about Jesus. He was already perfect. That word there means whole. That means that he completed the will of God. What was it that he said on the cross? When he died, the last words recorded that Jesus Christ uttered before he gave up the ghost. It is finished. He had completed God's plan. If Jesus had not died, God's plan wouldn't be completed. And you and I would not have access to the Father in prayer. We would not have access to the salvation of our souls, and we would not have access to heaven. If we cannot appreciate Jesus' death from the perspective of its accomplishments, we should appreciate his death from the consideration of what we would not have and what the case would be like if Jesus had not died. But he did die for us. He came, he allowed himself to be put on that cross and died so that you and I might have life. Because he lives, we can eternally live. I think that we know what the gospel plan of salvation is. Very quickly, we need to understand that one must hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. But one also must remain faithful unto death. In order for us to understand that, we should study and know the Bible. If a person has not remained faithful unto death, they must repent and pray if they are a Christian. And they can access the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ that was shed in his death on Calvary's cross. If Jesus had not died, we would have no hope. But yet tonight, there is hope. If there are any that need to respond to the gospel invitation, we're going to sing 920. And as we sing 920, if you need to respond, you can come at that time.